We are 6 days away from Astros opening day in Tampa. Justin Verlander against Blake Snell. And as we head into the season, it feels to me, guys, like people are sleeping on Carlos Correa. Yes, he was hurt last season, and it was his worst season ever. This guy was an MVP candidate the year before he, you know, was limited in the second half of the season. If you look at Correa's numbers over the course of the first 4 years of his career, they're basically tremendous, and he's still 24 years old.
By people, do you mean Paul Gallant?
Anybody, the well, city, the feel.
Okay, the feel. This is the problem with having the log jam at really good players on your baseball team. The guys who have done the most for you the most recently are the ones that are going to get the most shine. And that really good players, even guys like Jose Altuve, fall by the wayside a little bit. You know why? Because we couldn't see his bulbous kneecap as he was playing through a broken kneecap last year. People are like, oh, okay, well, Alex Bregman's the face of the franchise, and he's the one that gets a contract, and everybody else just can wait in the wings. I don't think people are sleeping on Carlos Correa as much as they are thinking about it realistically, which is, yeah, he's awesome, except he's got to stay healthy. And health issues 2 years in a row for a relatively young player that plays a very physical position are nothing to feel really warm and fuzzy about right now. I think it's as simple as that. If Carlos Correa were playing for a different baseball team, he would very much be the topic of discussion. If there weren't an Alex Bregman and a Jose Altuve and some of the various other smaller additions they made on the team this year, we'd be talking a whole lot about Carlos Correa's back and what it means that he looks so good in spring training right now, and can we anticipate that? All those things. It's just he's on too good a baseball team.
There's been an up and down nature to his career, partly due to injury in particular last year, though, with Correa, that I just wonder about going forward. And to be fair to Correa, Bregman's had some of those same situations. It's typically been at the very beginning of seasons. And honestly, if you take a look at his playoff statistics from a batting average perspective, Bregman aren't great. I think it's something like .229, his career playoff batting average. He just happens to have had a lot of really big hits in big moments.
Yeah.
Right. He's been just completely clutch in those spots. But you compare the two of them. My thing with Correa going forward, and I guess if I were to compare him to Bregman, I wonder if he's as driven as Bregman. And I ask that question because I think Correa is so naturally talented that I could see where maybe he wouldn't be as driven as Alex Bregman. Does that make sense to you guys?
It makes sense. My one thing with guys like Bregman, because this can apply to really any industry, Bregman has a certain unbelievable love and passion for baseball that he's so intense and so into it that I wonder if other guys can realistically replicate that. Seth, I don't know if I'm sure you had experience with guys like that in the NFL.
Well, right. But I mean, I think it's like that in every sport. It's the guys that, like, if you're the chosen one from a very young age, a lot of times you don't have that same hunger. And I don't mean to make this sound like I'm bashing Correa or anything, but that appetite for improvement. Kobe Bryant talked about this the other day. He did a really good interview as he was like introducing some children's book he had produced or something. But he talked about how he thinks that the thing that served him best in his career was curiosity. That it's like this curiosity about like, how can I get better? What do I need to be doing differently? All these things where you're just constantly tinkering it. Jose Altuve has that. All these other guys will talk about how, you know, Beltran was talking about how then when they first met, Altuve is just asking him for advice on how he can get better, all these things. Bregman certainly has that, just that intense curiosity, that drive to improve every single day. Yeah, maybe it's that, but I hesitate to say that, though, Paul, because it really, like, it's injuries. I mean, it's not like he's underperformed when he's been healthy. It's just that he hasn't been able to stay healthy. And I don't want to criticize like whether or not he has that hunger or appetite when it might be as simple as just like his back hasn't held up on him.
Yeah, it could be that simple. It really could. I'm not acting like that's not a factor in all of this. I just think going forward, if I had to put my money on who is going to be a player that improves over time, and throwing injuries aside of it, I would pick Bregman over Correa every single time. And I think psycho work ethic in comparison. I don't think there are many players that have the same kind of drive that Alex Bregman does. Same thing with chip on shoulder side of things. And for all we know, Correa will have a good season this year. But this isn't me saying like putting him by the wayside necessarily, Mike, or just forgetting about him. I just I feel I need to see a full season of dominance from Correa. And yeah, injuries have been a factor on that front before, but that's something that I don't know that we're necessarily going to see this coming year.
And that's obviously going to be the big thing. But if he stays healthy, you were talking about a guy who could easily be the best player on the Houston Astros. This is a guy who, as you go into the season, his MVP odds are 16-1. The only guys who are better, the only ones in the league are Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Aaron Judge, and Alex Bregman. That's it. Those are the only guys.
I mean, you go to like 2016, he had a 6.4 WAR. He's been, by various metrics at times, like a top 10 player. And
yes,
it's just that injuries have knocked him out of that. So I guess maybe sleeping on him might be the right word, Mike. I guess, and it's just the uncertainty about whether you can get a full season out of him more than anything. And It's a big year for him. It's not time for a position change or anything. But maybe if he doesn't make it through this season healthy, maybe it is.
That could be the case. We shall see.
It's a freaking load playing out there every night.
Mad Radio on a Friday. Mike, Seth, and Paul, to put a ball on that. I expect Correa to have a big time season, and I do believe that he is going to be in contention for the American League MVP. NCAA tournament. Controversy has struck on Thursday. Michigan State pulled away from Bradley. They eventually won the 215 matchup. Tom Izzo, this video has gone viral, him going after one of his players, Aaron Henry, a couple of times. He has to be restrained from going, from getting closer to this Henry fellow. Here was Tom Izzo, the legendary head coach of Michigan State, after their win.
I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
Do you guys feel that Tom Izzo went too far?
Well, I don't think he had to be restrained, for one. The other player kind of got between him and Murray and tried to be the peacemaker and be the cooler head there. So it's not like Izzo was going to punch the kid or anything. And Murray had
Henry.
Gotten... What's that?
Henry.
Henry, excuse me. What, who's Aaron Murray? Oh, yeah. Aaron
I
Murray.
Think you're just mixing Henry, names. So,
Georgia legends.
So Henry, yeah, I know.
Backup quarterback talk, guys.
Aaron Murray was in the fourth row. Tom Izzo didn't like it. So he went after the fan.
Ring the bell.
So I think that Henry hadn't gotten back in defense. Look, I think that Tom Izzo is one of those guys who gets away with acting the way he does because he's just a flat-out really good basketball coach, and people think that that part of it is part of what makes him good, when in fact, I think that part of it gets excused. Like, there's some of the hardest-ass coaches I ever had did not yell much at all, and you're terrified of them because they hold you to high standards. Larry Izzo just has his temper tantrums and whatnot.
Larry
Izzo, the football player? Jeez,
that's a good compliment for Larry.
Much less compensated Stephen A. Smith up here.
Larry Izzo receives temper tantrums from Bill O'Brien.
Yes, right.
That is the difference.
So, special teams standout Aaron Murray.
Paul, do you think that Tom Izzo went too far?
So apparently he's got an issue with this guy, and there's a piece in The Athletic where apparently back at some point this season where Izzo was grilling into Henry. Henry felt that it was personal and asked back, when you say these things, what should my reaction be? What are you really saying when you say this? So there's a piece in The Athletic like before this event took place.
What did Tom Izzo say his reaction should be?
It does not say in the little clip that I'm reading from this passage, but apparently they had it out and they came to an understanding.
Yeah.
Whatever the case, I mean, that understanding clearly wasn't there.
This is what I'd say, and like this is how I felt all the way. Like as I learned more and more about it, and I used to be like a old school hard ass that thought you were supposed to be a jerk if you're a coach and everything, because that had been my experience. As I got older and had more experience with different types of coaches, and then I learned some about like took classes in sports psychology and everything. Like there are different ways to be effective as a coach. It's always been curious to me that somebody would choose to go the route of being the biggest jerk you could possibly be when other ways are effective. Like, that's what I just don't quite understand. Like, if my kid was a basketball recruit, I'm going to want him to go to the best place possible. But I'm also going to say, you know what? You don't have to live in a place where you're like dealing with somebody that basically acts kind of like a tyrant all the time. Because there are other ways to be tough on kids and to have high expectations for them without acting that way. I never understood why somebody would choose to do it the way that's like the least productive in terms of actually like being a positive citizen and a good example for people. Like if that's the way you think that you have to be a hard ass, then you've never played or worked for a genuine hard ass.
I agree with you. And also I think this speaks to the power imbalance between the quote unquote student athlete and the head coach in college basketball, where I can't imagine watching an NBA game and watching a head coach do what Tom Izzo did in this game. And I'm not saying I'm like overly bothered by it, but I can't remember watching an NBA game the last time a coach went that crazy on a player, because those players are making millions of dollars and they probably laugh at the guy.
Yeah.
Like, you think Mike D'Antoni can't do that with his players?
It's not just that, and I'm not in their shoes, so I can't speak to this necessarily, but I think the idea of a small, stout man coming up to you and screaming in you when you're a large human being, no matter the age, is laughable.
You think Henry was laughing inside?
I mean, it's totally different in the heat of the moment, and you're in the middle of a sporting event, and you're probably used to this guy yelling at you as much as you are. And I'm sure that this Henry kid is very used to him, especially since there's a passage in an article in The Athletic talking about how they've had issues in the past before. But yeah, if I'm Henry and I'm seeing this little stout leprechaun man come up to me, I'm probably inwardly chortling.
Well, it's also it matters who the coach is too, like, because Tom Izzo, it can be more effective because he's actually a good coach, where like Richard Smith was the defensive coordinator here. He tried to act like Tom Izzo, but he was so bad as a football coach that it was just hilarious.
What was your response in the moment to his moments?
I mean, there's nothing you can do. You sit there, like everybody likes to talk about what they would do. You just sit there and you take it, you know, but it doesn't have an effect on you because he's such a clown as a coach and a human being.